Holy Father, thank you for gathering us today on this special day. Thank you for all of the joy and the love that is here in this room, the love that we have for one another, and the love that you have for us, and the love that we have in return to you. It is a blessing to be here together. Thank you for the peace that descends upon us when we gather in your name. I pray that your peace would be upon everyone right now, and even anyone who's just having a hard time being still in their mind or in their heart, who's distracted or burdened by something. I pray, Lord Jesus, that even right now you would come alongside and take up the yoke with us and carry our burdens for us, and that your peace would be upon us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, I got that story. That story is I got it from a children's book. It's called Christmas Tree Parable, and I gave that book to Graham and Susan. But really, the idea for this story comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. And so you can either turn there or look above if you like, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 is where that story comes from. 2 Corinthians 8, and I'll be reading right through verse 9. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and even beyond their means, of their own free will, they gave, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace, this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. And I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of the Lord, and this is the message of Christmas. I don't know if you picked up on that, but in that passage, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. So there's a local church, just like us here, Ebenezer, the church at Leduc. There's a local church meeting in Corinth, in the city of Corinth. And the book, the letter of 2 Corinthians, is written to that church. And so they're supposed to gather together when they meet on the Lord's Day and read this out. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to us. And so they're reading out this letter together when they're gathered. And in this letter, he's telling the church at Corinth about another church, a church at Macedonia. And he's telling them about how generous the church in Macedonia had been. He says, look, the church in Macedonia, they heard about a need in another church, in a different church. And when they heard about that need, even though you know how it is in Macedonia, you know how very poor they are in Macedonia, and yet when they heard about this need in a different place, they begged for the opportunity to please, could they have a chance to give of what they had in order to be a blessing on others. That's what Paul's telling the church at Corinth. He's saying, look, this is what happened with the church in Macedonia. He said, look, despite the fact that they live in extreme poverty every day, that's their life. Nonetheless, in their poverty, they also live with an abundance of joy. I don't know if you picked up on that, but that's what he said. He said, look, they're poor, but joyful. Extreme poverty, and yet an abundance of joy. And out of that joy flowed a wealth of generosity. That is a beautiful picture. People living in extreme poverty, but despite the poverty, having an abundance of joy, and out of that joy, having extreme generosity. That's the picture of the church in Macedonia, and it's beautiful. Then later in the letter, Paul says to the Corinthian church, he tells them about a need in Jerusalem. By the way, the church in Jerusalem right now is struggling. They need your help. Maybe you could do something to help out the church in Jerusalem. Now, what do you think Paul uses to motivate the Corinthian church to help out the church in Jerusalem? Do you think that his tactic there is to motivate them with guilt? That he says, all right, you know, you have so much, and they have so little, and you should feel guilty about the fact that you've got everything and they've got nothing, and so you really should take some of what you have and give it to them. Don't you feel ashamed of yourself for having so much and they have so little? No. That's not at all the angle that Paul takes. In fact, the Bible never tries to motivate us through the emotion of guilt. It doesn't. Okay, well, all right, Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't guilt them into giving. Maybe he motivates them from a sense of duty, right? Duty. This is what we must do. Maybe he says, hey, now that you're Christians, you know, along with being a Christian comes some obligations. And you now have an obligation to care for those who are in need. That's part of the package. So pay your dues. Pay your tithe. You have to. Now you're a Christian. Do it. It's your duty. Just do it. Nope, he doesn't go that route either. Christian generosity is not motivated by guilt, and Christian generosity is not even motivated by duty or obligation. If it was, that would take the joy right out of the Christian life, if that was our motivation. But that's not at all what Paul does here. Instead, when it comes to the why question, why? Why? Why should the church in Corinth, who has stuff, who has money, they're doing well in Corinth, why should that church give what they have to the church in Jerusalem? Why? The answer Paul gives to that question, the answer he gives is Christmas. That's why. That's how Paul answers that question. Why should Christians be generous? Why should Christians bless others? Because of Christmas. That's why. Okay, well, where does it say that? I didn't see that. It says it in verse 9. In verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, here's why I want you to give. Here's why I want you to be generous. Here's why I want you to give until it hurts. Because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's verse 9, and that's his whole motivation. Why do I want you to be generous? Well, I just want you to think about this. Here's why I want you to be generous. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was rich beyond your wildest dreams. He had everything. He was in heaven with God Almighty, and he had everything, and he laid it aside and became poor. Why? For your sake. Well, how is that for my sake? So that I might become rich. He became poor so that I might become rich. Paul says, think on that and see how that will affect your generosity. That's the logic of what Paul is saying here. He says, look, there's a need, and I'm asking you to sacrificially be generous to help those in need. And as a motivation for your generosity, let me just remind you of how sacrificially generous Jesus has been with you. He traded riches for poverty in order to make you rich. And so, please, having been on the receiving end of that kind of generosity yourself, please be generous. Extend that kind of generosity to others. That's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 8. And that is the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is the gift of God's grace to us through the incarnation of the Son, right? It's all about that. Christmas is all about God's gift to us through the sending of his Son, the incarnation, the taking on of flesh of his Son. And that gift then motivates our love and our generosity towards others. And that is how we carry Christmas with us throughout the whole year, right? For us, for Christians, for followers of Christ, Christmas is not a once-a-year event for us. Christmas is a way of life for us. It's always Christmas for us. As children of God, we are always remembering the ultimate gift that we have received, and that is always motivating us to be sacrificially generous towards others when we see those needs around us. We live gospel-centered, grace-motivated lives as followers of Christ. And the Bible talks about this Christmas gift with these words. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. So when we sin, when we fall short of God's standard, when we fall short of even our own standard of right and wrong, when we sin, we are earning something, we're earning wages, and the wages that we are earning is the right to die and to be separated from God. The wages of sin, what you're earning by your sin, is the right to be separated from a holy and righteous God. But then that verse goes on to say, that would be a sad verse if that's all it said. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. That's the Christmas gift. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul's point in 2 Corinthians is that for those of us who have received this free gift of eternal life, it should be Christmas every day for us. As that eternal life both flows into us, but then overflows out of us into love and generosity towards others. And the thing that motivates our generosity towards others is not guilt, it's not even duty, it's grace. Grace motivates us. God's gift of grace to us results in our generosity towards others. And how did he give us that gift? How did that gift of grace come wrapped? Well, the gift was God himself given to us, wrapped in the flesh of a human, veiled in flesh, wrapped in flesh, God Almighty. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The Son so loved the world that he came to the world. And the Son, when he came wrapped in flesh, clothed as a person. And he lived a perfect life of love, always perfectly loving, and a perfect life of obedience, always perfectly obeying the law of God. And he died a sacrificial death in our place. He didn't need to die. He didn't earn any of the wages of sin. There's no reason for him to die except that he died in our place. And he rose again from the dead, defeating death. That's the gift that's given. So how do we receive that gift? Well, it's freely given. We don't have to pay for it. It's a free gift for us. It's free. We receive it, we unwrap it, we accept it by believing in the name of Jesus, believing that he is who he said he is, believing that he has done what he came to do, and that he did it not just in an abstract and general way, but he did it specifically for me and for you. We receive the gift by believing that that gift has your name on it. And once we've received that gift, well, then Christmas is no longer just December 25th. Christmas is every day. In fact, Christmas for us is a way of life. And his generosity that flows into us then flows out of us to bless others. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we thank you for your amazing generosity. There is nothing more precious in the entire universe than your Son, and rather than holding him back or putting a sign not for sale on him, don't touch this one, he's for me, you didn't do that. You opened your arms and you freely gave. You so loved the world, you so loved your creation, you so loved us that you gave your only Son. And Lord Jesus Christ, we're so thankful to you that you were willing to come, that you were willing to make sacrifice for love, that though you were rich, rich beyond anything that we could imagine, and yet you made yourself poor, you put it all aside. You weren't grabbing after things for yourself. You laid it aside and became poor for our sake. That's amazing. It's overwhelming. It's humbling. We thank you for that gift. You became poor that we might become rich. You, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, became poor so that we might become sons and daughters of God, so that we might become princes and princesses, so that instead of our poverty, we might become rich. And so we receive that gift that you've given. And I pray for each of us that in the receiving of that gift, that we would be filled to overflowing with life, with eternal life. And that as that fills and flows out of us, that it would then cause us to bless others, to love others, to be generous with what you've given, so that we might then bless others. I pray that that would mark our lives, that we would be a people who live Christmas, not just once a year, but live it on a daily basis. I pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.